Okay, good morning, God bless you. The teaching title I've prepared this morning is called The Hope, the Anchor of Our Soul. How appropriate. We all know what the hope is. It's Jesus Christ's return for us, right? It's not a mystery. Everybody knows it's going to happen. Everybody knows that's what it is. But today we're going to see, you know, just how far in the future it actually is. That's what we're going to see today. How far is it? Or, you know, is he really coming? We're going to see that too. And, you know, what's the timeline on that? I asked Fred to play a song that he's going to cue up right now. It's called The Word Is Our Anchor by Mark Brady. And it was actually a gift. The CD was a gift given to me recently. And I was listening to it on the way to work Monday. And for those of you that go to work, that drive to work, you're probably in the rain on Monday like I was. And as we're driving, and I just got finished praying with my two prayer partners, Ern Gladden and Michael Baglieri. Is it going, Fred? And just got finished praying with my two prayer partners. I'm listening, as I just popped in the CD, and I'm listening to it, and it's raining outside. And then all of a sudden, wow, it's really raining. Wipers are going faster. And all of a sudden, I hear the thunder. I'm like, wow, it's really raining hard out there. Then I realize, oh, that's the CD playing. So enjoy this song.
A ship lost out at sea. I was a boat without an oar. I kept spinning round in circles, wondering where I was headed for. Out in that sea of darkness, there was a light straight up ahead. A light full of peace and comfort. I found calm. They've been tossed to and fro, drowning in confusion. We must rescue so they can know. So get sailing and start speaking. It's love. Thank you.
God is our anchor. Jesus Christ is coming back, just like the Word says. That's the anchor to our soul. And that's what we need, actually, right? So let me try and explain, if I can, how this anchor works. Okay? Now, not counting Saturdays or Sundays, which day is your favorite day of the week? You can blurt it out. It's okay.
Friday!
Why is Friday so much the favorite for everybody? Because what? You got Saturday, Sunday off, right? Most people do. But Friday is the day, right? Well, why is it like that? Think about it. Why is it like that? I like to watch the weather because, you know, I like to hear the rain coming. And, you know, my favorite weather guy is John Coleman. He's on KUSI, Channel 9, right? Anybody ever watch that guy? What happens on Friday? Yeah, the confetti drops from the ceiling, and guess what? He jumps out of his chair, and he's gone. He goes off running. That's how excited John Coleman is about Fridays. Maybe that's what, you know, it's like for you. So here's my question. How do we make Mondays like Fridays? How do we do that? Is that possible? Maybe it is. Is it possible? So, because Fridays are so much fun, right? Mondays you come to work, you know, you got traffic, and, you know, Mondays are so much of a drag compared to Fridays. So, that's the question. How do you get Mondays like Fridays? Well, what if Tuesday you were going on vacation for 2 weeks in Hawaii? How would that feel? Next year. How about next summer? 2 weeks in Hawaii. Next summer. That's good. How about this month? Getting better, isn't it? How about this week? What's changing? The time frame is shrinking, isn't it? It's not exciting to go on vacation in Hawaii next year as it is, you know, in a couple days next week after Monday. You see the time frame shrinking? So that's what changed. The timeline has changed. That's what makes it so exciting, what Shelley was talking about. So what about the hope? Are we excited about the hope? Or is it perhaps too far away in our minds? Honestly, is it too far away in our minds? I'd like you to take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. God wants us to know about something. And when he does, he says not to be ignorant about it. 2 Peter 3, 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I don't think God has a watch. But that's how he perceives time. It's the same. I'd like you to take a look at James chapter 4. We'll read verse 14. Looking at the timeline, okay? How far away is this return of Jesus Christ that we're all looking forward to? James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, or a little time, and then vanish away. I like to read that also in the Amplified Version. And I do that a lot, or have lately, because it just throws a few more words in there to kind of open up our understanding a little bit. So follow along in your King James, or if you have the Amplified, that's good. It says, let, James 4:4 Amplified, let you not know, remember, how does that go? Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. That's true. What is the nature of your life? Are you really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a short while and then disappears into thin air? That's what our life is like. On the whole timeline of life, it's that long, or I should say that short. You ever talk to older folks? I'd be careful there. I'm getting old, man. They talk about, and I find myself here now too, having a child. They talk about like their grandkids or their kids, and you would have swore it was like it happened yesterday, you know, because they have all the details, and it was like when they're growing up and all these things happening. In their mind, it seemed like a short time ago. You know, that's just par for the course. Our life is a very short time here on the earth. So, let me ask you a question. Does this shorten up the timeline a little bit in your minds about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Absolutely. I want you to take a look at Hebrews chapter 6. Our hope is sure. And we can also have endurance, and we can also have assurance that God will provide all that we have need of in this little short time that we have here, no matter what. No matter what. So in Hebrews 6:13, Shelley read, we're going to read through verse 20, but Shelley read one of the verses there in the King James. I'd like to read these verses 13 through 20 in the Amplified Version. It just helps, I don't know, for me it just helps a little understanding. So we're going to start in verse 13. For when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, since he had no one greater to swear by, right? Think about that when you're a little kid. I swear to God, right? Verse 14, saying, this is what God said, blessing, I certainly will bless you, and multiplying, I will certainly multiply you. And so it was that he, Abraham, having waited long and endured patiently, realized and obtained the birth of Isaac as a pledge of what is to come, that what God had promised him. Verse 16, men indeed swear by a greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes the oath taken for confirmation is final, ending strife. Verse 17, accordingly God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were inherent or to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervened with an oath. Verse 18. I'm reading the Amplified Version here. This is so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, this is talking about with Abraham, right? It is impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us. We who have fled to him for refuge might have a mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed to us and that is set before us. Verse 19. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. That's what our hope is like. It's an anchor. It's sure. It's steadfast. It's going to happen. Verse 20, where Jesus has entered into for us in advance, a forerunner having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, does God lie? Can God lie?
No.
That's even a bigger no. Now, did God's promise to Abraham come to pass? Now, you know, Bob calls this the Reader's Digest of the Old Testament. And it's so cool, if I may say that, Bob. God's using the example of his promise to Abraham and how he made it come to pass as an example of showing us the coming of Jesus Christ and comparing it so we can see the relationship between the two. Do you see that? God's promise is going to come true. It happened for Abraham. It's going to happen for us. And he's showing us as an example. Look at verse 18 again. This is so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, God's oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, ever to prove false or to deceive us. We're not going to be deceived. We have fled to him for refuge. Did you know we're refugees? This world's not our home, right? That kind of makes sense. But listen to this. That we might have a mighty indwelling strength. Isn't that what we all want? For that short time until Jesus Christ comes back? We need strength. When we get tired, when we get burnt out, what keeps us going? This is what keeps us going. You know, things are going to just fade away. But we need some indwelling strength. Strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Is the hope set before us? Absolutely. So how do we endure? This is how. Verse 19 says, now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. Woodpecker's back there. It reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. It's going to happen. That's an anchor of our soul. You know, every ship has to have an anchor, right? What happens if you don't use the anchor? You're off with the current. You are. You're off with the current. And wherever that current goes, guess what? That you're going right along with it. Go with the flow, right? No, you don't want to go with the flow. You want to set your anchor and be steadfast, right? You know, another interesting thing is, let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. God did something else real special. We have this hope. Jesus Christ is coming back. We see how short the actual timeline really is going to be. But he also put this hope in us. You will never have to doubt again if this is really true or not. Because this hope's in us. The King James reads, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And the word sanctify, as we know, means what? Set apart. Set apart a special place. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's what God wants us to do in the meantime. This is what we do in the meantime. We just don't sit around and wait. There's things to do. There's many things to do, and we can't touch on all of those, but I thought this might sum it up briefly in the meantime. I'd like to read a couple of different versions of this verse to kind of, shed a little more light on it. The Amplified reads, "But in your hearts set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge Him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully." That's kind of neat. But putting Christ as Lord, is Christ Lord in our life?
Yes.
Absolutely. Can other things kind of make themselves Lord in our life? Perhaps. Maybe your job's your Lord, and you never see your family because you're always at work. I don't know. It could be. Let's make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, right? Look at, you can't look at it. The Young's literal translation reads, "And the Lord God sanctify in your hearts, and be ready always for a defense to everyone who asks you of the account concerning the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." The New International Version reads, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect." Kind of getting a picture here? We're supposed to be ready for something, aren't we? And it's not just sitting waiting for the trumpets to start blasting, right? Jesus Christ is coming back, and it's a short time from now. Our lives here are just a vapor. And I know, if you're 20 years old, it's probably hard to believe that. But I was there once. But it's true. It's just like, do you think life is like Mondays? Or do you think life's like Friday? Or Monday going on vacation on Tuesday? How do you perceive things to be? The hope is the anchor that we can rely on. Time here is very short. God's going to provide all that we have need of while we're in this period of time prior to Jesus Christ coming back. He just is. Think of Matthew chapter 6. Do you think you're better than a little bird? God takes care of those little guys, right? How much better do you think you are than a little bird? Last name Stork, okay, sorry. But, okay, I can relate to that. God's going to take care of us. It doesn't matter what is happening around us. But the economy, where's our head? God's going to take care of us no matter what. Is God bigger than the economy? Is God bigger than your job? Pick one. Pick one. Yes, absolutely. What about a little bird? Absolutely. It's easy to think of that, right? So what do we do? What do we do? I say let's focus our minds on the things above, like Shelley mentioned. Okay? Because why? Those are the things that really matter. When you really think about it, those are the things that really matter on things above. And let's be ready. Let's be ready to give an answer to those folks that ask, to give them that answer of the reason and the hope that's in us. Okay? God bless you guys. Well, thanks God tonight or today for a wonderful information about you and the timeline of Christ coming back. Thank you, God, that we can be renewed in our minds and be renewed in our spirit, God, of the hope that's within us, that you place within us. And we know it's there because we can speak in tongues and know with an absolute certainty that that is the truth. And God, we look forward to that day. And until then, God, we enjoy all the wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us. And we look forward, God, to giving that next person the answer of the reason of hope that is within us, God. And we do this with great meekness and great joy. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. We're going to wrap this up.